Abraham Lincoln. And usual, as usual, it was a mix of historical events and anecdotes. But I remember that our teacher concluded by saying, if there's one thing you're going to remember about Abraham Lincoln, it should be that the reason he is so effective is that he was a great communicator. You know, I'd heard many things about Abraham Lincoln. I heard that he was really hardworking. I'd heard about his honesty, Honest Abe, and other virtues, but I never really thought about him as a communicator. I didn't quite understand, but as the years have gone by, I think I'm beginning to. See, Abraham Lincoln wasn't the only honest soul in America. He wasn't the only hardworking man who was vying for political office. But it was his ability to extend these qualities, to inspire other people, to communicate himself, that made him excel as a president. Communication is key. Communication is vital in every aspect of our lives. It's all around us, on the road signs when you drove in today, on your phone, on your notification screen. Communication. The words printed in the Bible, that's communication. In fact, communication is even key to all of our relationships. Every team, every company, yes, even every family, the failure or the success of these are based on communication. Even our relationship with God, it's based on communication, which is why it should be no surprise today when I tell you that Christmas itself is about communication. God wanted to make sure that his message got through, and so he came down to earth and brought that message home himself. That's what we're here to celebrate today. The purest form of God's communication. St. John sums it up in just four words. The Word became flesh. The Word here is referring to Jesus, certainly, but the question is, why would John call Jesus the Word? Isn't that an interesting title for a person, to call them the Word? And it's so unlike any other title we have for Jesus in the Bible. Why is he calling him the Word? Well, it's an incredibly fitting title when we look into it. Jesus himself in John chapter 14 said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. You know, as you read through the Gospels, and especially John's, there are so many times when Jesus explains that he has come so that people may know the will of the Father, that he has come to do the Father's will. He says again in John 8:28, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. I picked out a few more verses from John. John 1:14-18, John 5:30, John 5:37-47, John 8:28, I just read, John 14, John 17:4-6, John 17:20-26, just to name a few. Jesus in all these parts is speaking about his relationship with the Father and that he has come to communicate to us what his Father says. And really, when you think about it, the Word is such an amazing title for Jesus because it's not just what Jesus said, but it's who he is and what he did. Jesus is the embodiment of all of God's message. He is the fulfillment of all of God's prophecies. He's the central subject of both God's Old and New Testament. He is God literally communicating himself to us. He is rightly called the Word. Did you ever learn the communication diagram in school? I don't know which one you learned, but the one I learned had a sender on one side, and then there was an arrow in the middle that said the message, and then there was a receiver on the other end. Pretty simple. Looks pretty good. That is until this nasty little thing called interference or noise gets in the way. And it messes with the message. In human conversation, this can be anything as far as the noise of something in the background, a car passing, maybe a mic going out. It can even be something like a personal conflict or something that's going on in the back of your mind when someone is talking to you. Noise and interference messes up the message. You know, there's this verse in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3. And it's one of the saddest verses of the Bible in my mind. It says that God was walking in the garden of the cool of the day, in the cool of the day, and he called out to Adam and Eve. Doesn't sound so sad at first, but just think about that. That was the original relationship God had with his people. God was able to walk around, to talk freely, to communicate with Adam and Eve. They could have sat at his feet, seen his smile, asked him questions. But all that changed when we fell into sin. Adam and Eve could no longer live with a holy God anymore. Sin interfered with the message. Sin broke the communication between God and mankind, and it's been doing that ever since. Sin still interferes with our ability to hear and communicate with God today. It's not hard to imagine that line slashing across the message when we think about Christmas, is it? Sin has warped Christmas in our culture from a celebration of God's free gift of Jesus Christ into really a celebration of our own materialism. Even in Christian homes, how often does the message get muddled? Are we thinking about God's grace when we're ripping open the presents? Or when we're disappointed because someone didn't give us what we thought they would? Someone didn't show up, or there's some conflict in our family? Sin gets in the way of the message on Christmas, doesn't it? In fact, for many of us, the Christmas story sometimes becomes a little worn out. Because of sin, it breeds contempt with familiarity. And this wonderful story of God coming to us and becoming a baby ends up seeming old. It's like a joke in a chain email that's gone on too long. It's like a sappy commercial on TV we've seen too many times, and we pass right by it. Another year. Christmas is here and gone, and pretty soon we've put everything away, and we're focused on the new year. Sin messes with God's ability to communicate with us, because sin is in our hearts. It's in our minds. And Christmas is just one of the things we could cite here. Sin causes us to doubt God's promises. In fact, sin causes us to be offended at the clear words of God's commands. It causes us to pull back from him. And worst of all, my friends, sin causes us to close our ears to the message of God's earnest love, which he has for every person. And that, my friends, is why God needed to come down and deliver the message himself. John tells us that the Word became flesh. I just love this word because it's not a word we use anymore, is it? We don't use the word flesh. And isn't it interesting that he chose to use this word? He didn't say the Word took on a body or the Word became human. He chooses to say it more tangibly. The Word became flesh. He wants us to know that Jesus had blood and bone, muscles and skin. He was human, just as we are. He was of the flesh. And why did he do that? John wants us to grasp the reality of Jesus' humanity. He wants us to grasp the reality of Jesus' humanity because Christmas is all about communication. It's all about communication. I think it's kind of humorous sometimes how communication gets messed up so easily over text messaging. I remember this time I invited a friend of mine to go to a movie with me that we were both interested in. So he texts back saying, yeah, he'd like to go, and he suggests a time. And I texted, sounds good, with a period. And the next text I get back says, we don't have to go if you don't want to. So I didn't know what to do at this point, so I just simply called him on the phone and reminded him, I initiated this, I certainly do want to go. But it's just surprising to me, and you know what he said? He said, well, you put a period. So I guess maybe I'll need to use exclamation points and smiley faces from now on to assure people that I'm being genuine. But it just goes to show you, things can get messed up easily over text. And phone calls, while they are better, aren't the perfect means of communication either. Just ask someone who's in a long-distance relationship if it's the same communicating with someone over the phone or in person. You ever tried to work with customer service help? You might know it's difficult to communicate over the phone sometimes. Why, even Skype or FaceTime, these things are wonderful and they get you closer, but it's not the same as being with somebody physically. The truth is, and I think we all know this just inherently, if you really want to get to know someone, you need to be with them face to face. You need to look them in the actual eyeball. You need to be able to shake their hand, spend some time with them. See how they react to things. Observe them. See what makes them tick. You need to be with them in the flesh to truly understand who they are. My friends, the God who created us knows this very well. And that's why he came and became flesh for us to communicate his message of love and forgiveness. God didn't just say he loved us, did he? He came down and he proved it. He lived with us and he died ultimately for us. He became human. Understand that God himself, the eternal one, became mortal. God, who is limitless in power, became weak. Couldn't even lift up his head when he was born. He took on our humanity because he needed to be tempted by it. He needed to stand up in it. He needed to die for us. He needed to relate with us. And this is what John experienced firsthand. John, the writer of these words, has a gospel unlike any other of the four gospels. You know, one of the first things you learn about the Bible is that there are four gospels, four different accounts of the life of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what we sometimes forget is that John's gospel is the only one that claims to be an eyewitness account. John's recollection of his participation in Jesus' ministry, John's memories of life with Jesus, are all his own. As one of Jesus' closest disciples, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John knew what it was like to be with Jesus in the flesh. He walked with him day after day, listened to him speak. He slept with him on the road, on the ground. He watched his power and miracles. He saw his compassion for people. And John, specifically John, only John, was the disciple who had the courage himself to come to the foot of Jesus' cross when Jesus hung there. He saw the blood come out of his hands and feet when the nails were pressed in. He saw the ribbons of flesh that the whip had carved out. He saw Jesus in the flesh die for him. My friends, it was that in the flesh communication that moved John to write this gospel and to give his life in service to God. And my friends, this Christmas morning, it is that in the flesh communication that convinces our hearts of God's love and forgiveness as well. The God born as a tiny baby is a loud scream that cuts through sin's interference and proves to us that he is love, that there is forgiveness for every sin. There is hope for an eternal life with God. Because of Christ, we have heard the message. The Spirit has come through and worked faith in our hearts to believe that God is who he says he is, a God of mercy and a God of compassion. My friends, Christmas is about communication. So when you go home, you look at a nativity or the Christmas tree, don't just see the presents. Don't just see the lights. Don't just look at Mary and Joseph or the shepherds or the wise men. See the beginning of God's clearest form of communication, the Word made flesh laying in the manger. See that your God truly loves you and would stop at nothing to get the message across. You know what they say the first step of successful communication is? Careful listening. Careful listening. Listen carefully, my friends. You're always going to be able to hear the noise of sin, whether it's in this world or in the guilt in your own head. But listen carefully, and you'll hear that the angel's song still echoes. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth toward men. Friends, listen carefully to your Savior's voice of love and let it cut through all the sinful interference in your heart this Christmas. Let him drive the message home. See that baby born in the manger and listen carefully. Ponder with Mary this incredible truth. The Word became flesh.